Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. It is Bad Take Boulevard. Who made the list this week? If you've seen any bad takes, let us know. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line 713-780-3776. Joe George in for Blankers. Charles Carter in for Joe George. All right, this is one that you didn't put it in the rundown, but you tipped us off on.
I know, I've been busy, so I've been scouring.
Doing what? Being an assistant to the regional manager?
Yeah, preparing for our draft show, which will be from 7 to 11 at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. John Granato, Jeremy Branham, Paul Gallant, Patrick Creighton will be on from 7 to 11. The Wheelhouse will be live in Kansas City, all brought to you by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. Promo time.
Huh. Well done.
Yep. I'll be there, too. I'll be engineering that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah.
You're just there for the Valencia's Tex-Mex, and I don't blame you.
Yeah.
And the drink. Really don't blame you.
And the drinks. That'll be a good night.
Margaritas.
All right, so, I got... I'm going to just call this person by their first name.
Okay.
Because I don't want a cat fight. This person used to kind of work in this building.
Okay.
This person's name is Matt. They said on Twitter that they should cancel the Masters because of safety after the first tree fell.
Huh.
That they can't ensure the safety of the players... and the fans because the tree fell.
They should I see where he's coming from here. Was it Harab?
No, not that Matt. I love that Matt. I would never do that to that Matt.
Which Matt was it?
I'll tell you off air.
I like a good confrontation.
Oh, by the way, I got a text. I'll read it out loud.
Okay.
I'll record 100 liners if you please get rid of fake Barkley. I think that's funny. It was sent to me by Cody. So Cody's listening. So if you want to re-challenge,
so he didn't accept the $1,000.
I'm not sure he's aware.
People tagged him on it.
Oh, okay.
On Twitter.
So I was going to give you an opportunity on air to just quickly
$1,000 bet, Cody. I'm not playing your silly games.
Will Levis.
My side is Will Levis goes in the top 10. Your side, since you hate Will Levis, you think he sucks, puke blood, you think he's awful, blah 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 blah. Put your money where your mouth is, how bad he is. If he goes outside of the top 10, you lose. If he goes outside of the top 10, you win. Yeah. If he goes in the top 10, I win. $1,000 bet. Not playing your little 3-hour spin a sign silly game with your cheesiness.
All right. So someone wanted to cancel the Masters.
They might as well just cancel golf then.
Cancel. I will say, I watch a lot of golf, big tournaments.
Uh-huh.
You ever remember the trees falling like that before, though?
I've never seen a tree fall like that with patrons around.
It didn't feel like it was that... windy. They said it was just like a giant gust of wind, just like,
oh,
must have got
it. Definitely wasn't lightning, though.
No,
like they would have had, I think they would have put the patrons away if there was lightning. Plus, there wasn't any of, like, you know how it gives you like a little bit of a char when there's lightning.
Yeah,
it wasn't that. Plus, it was a really skinny tree, maybe it wasn't watered well. But,
I have a take for you that I heard off of this.
You might as well just can't. I agree with Matt, and I say this tongue firmly in cheek. They should cancel the Masters. They should cancel golf, period. You know what else we should cancel? We should cancel the outdoors. Let's just cancel all of that.
Yeah.
Because a tree fell down at Augusta. That's what's going on at Augusta.
I did hear this take, though, that I agree with.
All right.
That it's a good thing that this happened at Augusta. Because people in 2023 are so engulfed in their phones that if this would have happened at any other golf course...
Interesting.
People would have died or got severely injured because they would have been on their phone and not realized the tree was falling on them. Now that take I like, and I think I agree with.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it didn't hurt.
that like no one's on there, like no one can have a cell phone, so like you're fully engaged in your surroundings.
Yeah.
Also not a Tiger Woods moment, like Tiger Woods isn't on that hole, because if Tiger's there, there's way more people.
Well, the golfers were gone, right? This was during suspended play.
I thought it caused suspended play.
No, it was already suspended.
Okay.
The play was already suspended. But you still had patrons out there because they were like trying to wait out the suspension.
Yeah.
And then that whenever the trees went down, they decided at that point to suspend the tournament for the rest of the day. Mm. So it didn't cause the suspension. It caused the suspension to last the rest of the day.
Gotcha. That's right.
But cancel the Masters, cancel golf, cancel the PGA.
Cancel outdoors.
The Live, I guess, can stick around because it's not necessarily in the States all the time. Mm. Cancel the outdoors. I don't disagree with this mad guy.
Except for the PGA tournament event that's coming back to Houston.
Yeah, don't cancel that. Which that's gonna be a designated event, by the way.
Yeah,
like all the top PGA golfers will be here.
And that starts next, was it, they said spring?
It's gotta be spring of 24, I imagine. Yeah.
That'll be nice.
I'd like to see where it's at, is specifically on the calendar. Like, I wonder, remember the show used to open?
Mm-hmm.
Used to be the week before the Masters.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, I wonder where this one's gonna be.
You get like Spieth and some of, you wouldn't get all the top guys.
No.
You wouldn't get like a Tiger.
No.
Like, you might get like Lefty 1 year.
You would get guys who wanted to play instead of trying to practice at Augusta.
Yeah.
Does Arian Foster make the list here? This is one that I'm kind of curious about. Somebody tweeted out, Draft Day is Kevin Costner's worst sports movie. In fact, that was Barstool Sports. Arian Foster was in Draft Day. Arian Foster
works for Barstool, so.
Does he really?
Yeah, conflict of interest here.
So anyways, he quote tweeted, he said, bad take, for a lack of a better word. So is Arian Foster saying that Draft Day is not Kevin Costner's worst sports movie a bad take?
Okay, so what are our options here?
I mean, the other ones that he's made.
So it says here,
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Bull Durham.
Yep.
All better than Draft Day. For the Love of the Game, underrated baseball movie.
Yep.
Better than Draft Day. This movie, I bet you that I land on the list for saying this. Tin Cup. I think Tin Cup's overrated.
Well, I think
filmed in Kingwood.
You said a great movie to one that you mentioned already.
Which one?
Field of Dreams.
Good movie.
That movie sucks.
Better than Draft Day.
I didn't say it's not. So, like, Kevin
Costner. Both things can be true.
So, yeah, both things can be true. I'm not a Field of Dreams guy. I think it's corny. It's way too cheesy.
That's fine. Let's have a catch. I'm not
shouldn't
crazy.
Have said that way.
I'm not crazy about sports movies.
I just think that a lot of them are. I think most sports movies are bad.
I find inaccuracies in them that I'm like, this would never happen, and it turns me off of the movie. That's why I think Tin Cup is very overrated.
Honestly, I haven't seen Tin Cup so long.
But it's better than Draft Day.
It is better, but from what I remember, yes.
Like when the dude's sitting there hitting the ball over and over and over, trying to land it on the island green, when he could just lay up and take second place in a U.S. Open. You lay up and you take second place in the U.S. Open. You don't hit every single one of your golf balls, except for one, into the water. Like, that drove me crazy. The end of that movie, hey, if I spoiled it, whatever, it's 20 years old. You should have already watched it. It's older than that.
No spoilers.
Like, yeah. The ending of that movie absolutely ruins it for me, even though it took place mostly at Kingwood Country Club and that island, which is actually Peninsula Green, at Deerwood, one of my favorite golf courses. It is my favorite golf course in the city of Houston. But the ending of that movie stinks. Awful. But I agree with Barstool. I disagree with Arian Foster. I do think Draft Day is Kevin Costner's worst sports.
Yeah, I would say it likely is.
So bad take, Arian Foster. He's landed on the list.
Not going to make the bracket for that take. But
probably not going to make the bracket.
No,
next
it's not
year's
strong
bracket.
Enough yet.
All right, here's another one. Another really bad take. How about the Dallas Mavericks trading for Kyrie Irving?
I don't think that's the bad take for the Dallas Mavericks and their fans.
What's the bad take?
Clutch Fans did this incredible thread. It's so good. And it is just all these Mavs fans dumping on the Rockets fans for saying Christian Wood's awful. And how Christian Wood is going to be the savior. And Christian Wood and Luka Doncic is going to get the Mavs back to the playoffs. And then he finds their follow-up tweets with how bad Christian Wood is. They're littered. Our good buddy is one of them. He didn't make this... this list from Clutch Fans. But Josh Beard.
Oh.
Was very pro Christian Wood. And I would assume now he's got his brain rattled in the right direction and knows that Christian Wood's not a good basketball player. Not a winning basketball player.
Both of them can be bad takes. I mean, whenever the Mavs traded for Kyrie Irving, there was like a 96% chance they would be a playoff team.
I thought it was a good move out of desperation because I think they know that Luka's the next guy. One of the next, like, two or three guys.
But how did it play out?
But at least they tried. Like, I give them credit. I know it's not. I give them credit for trying.
But it's a bad take because it worked poorly. I didn't hate it at the time. Like, but it was a team that was...
played well together. But they got rid of... What they got rid of was the only things that was their defense. Like, you now have two guards that are basically turnstiles. Like, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic played no defense. They would have had to win games in the playoffs or make the playoffs, they were going to have to win games 140 to 135. Like, they have no skill defensively.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't hate the trade, honestly.
But it didn't work.
But it
makes it a bad take in hindsight. At the time of the trade, I was okay with it, too, because it's like a team that's really not going anywhere, that's trying desperately one final Hail Mary to be, like, a contender.
Yeah.
It didn't work. You got to be bold. You got to either fail miserably or succeed.
I think you'll also see the reports that the Mavs believe Kyrie Irving wants to be back with Dallas. That'll end up being a bad take.
Yeah.
He ain't going back to Dallas.
Who's that?
Kyrie.
Yeah, probably not. 4488, John Granato stating that when Lance McCullers comes back, Hunter Browns goes to the bullpen. He makes the list of Bad Take Boulevard. They go to a six-man rotation.
But this is a semantics argument.
If Hunter Brown's pitching well, if Hunter Brown looks really good, you're not moving Hunter Brown to the bullpen.
But you know they're not going to go six-man forever.
And then you go six-man for the rest of the season once McCullers comes back?
I think once you get like a more consistent schedule, like you got to start to wind these guys down eventually. When it comes time, like, because you're going to go from pitching every 6 days to every 4 days for the most part, from the regular season to the playoffs, right? Like, so that's a big jump for these starters. So at some point, someone's going to have to go back to the bullpen.
I don't think so in the regular season.
Really?
No, I don't think so. I think you can finish the regular season with a six-man rotation. Mainly because...
No, I don't think they will.
It depends. Well, a lot of things have to happen here. One is where you're at in the standings. If you have a comfortable lead in the standings, why wouldn't you do this? You're wanting to limit Framber Valdez, make sure that he's healthy and pitching well in the postseason. Same thing with Javier. You don't want Javier suddenly pitching 190 innings when he really hasn't ever done that before. So you're able to limit him, get him ready to go for the postseason. You don't want Lance McCullers pitching every fifth day, because if Lance McCullers pitches every fifth day, that gives him more opportunity to get hurt. So Lance McCullers once every sixth day versus once every fifth day, less opportunity to get hurt. Same thing with Luis Garcia. You don't want him throwing tons of pitches, and you want Hunter Brown throwing tons of pitches. Absolutely, I think they could go six-man rotation for the rest of the season.
I think they'll start with it, but I don't think they'll end with it. But
I also don't think Hunter Brown, Hunter Brown wouldn't be the first one they go to the bullpen with either. I think it would be probably the way they're pitching right now.
You think like Luis Garcia?
Yeah, they think higher of Hunter Brown.
Well, I think it's more likely that someone gets traded.
I don't know. Because now if you trade somebody, you're looking
four innings pitched, seven strikeouts, 97 miles an hour on his fastball.
Who?
Forrest Whitley.
You're going to trade him?
No, he's your next man up if there's an injury.
Yeah, but you're not going
to... He's your insurance policy.
But you're not going to trade a guy from your rotation and then have Forrest Whitley be the guy, take the guy's spot in the rotation.
He's not. No, you're going to have...
You would trade Forrest Whitley.
No, you're going to have... You're going to go from six to five, and then Forrest Whitley is your injury... Is your injury backup?
I think it's a better... Who are they going to trade? Who are they trading out of their rotation?
Whoever they can get, whoever they want to
trade. Much more likely they trade Forrest Whitley.
But what about the spelling?
Yeah, that's a bad take. 4488 ended up on bad take for listing somebody else on bad take.
John Granato, G-R-E-N-A-D-O. Maybe the worst spelling of John Granato's last name ever.
I think that's his thing. I think that's what he does. I think he sent that last week talking about Granato as well. All right, that's it for Bad Take Boulevard. Any bad takes that didn't make the list or any bad takes that you see through the week, make sure you tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. 713-780-3776. Will the new Major League Baseball expansion cities end up on Bad Take Boulevard? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that will never make it onto Bad Take Boulevard is Gentle Ben. It's a great pleasure of mine always to tell you about the greatness that is Gentle Ben for a variety of reasons. The top of that list is because I believe what I say. Gentle Ben is the best. Whether it's the vodka, best in the state, the gin, best in the market, or the bourbon, double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben uses their innovative Presedo craft technology that makes them better across the board. Purity, aroma, taste, they sweep every category. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben. Their purification process is unrivaled. It's smooth, it's clean, it eliminates the burn. Don't Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. And you can do that with Gentle Ben. Order online right now, gentlebend.com, or stop at your favorite liquor store on the way home. Total Wine, Specs, many of the other local stores as well. Rockets game. Well, we saw the Gentle Ben bar at the Rockets games. Now you can go to the Gentle Ben bar at the Astros games. Yeah, Gentle Ben bar right next to the Crawford boxes, right when you walk in from Union Station. So make sure you stop by the Gentle Ben bar when you're heading to watch the Stros. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
6171, Branham changes the entire premise of the bet, directly contradicts his initial position. Franchise quarterback available at 12, and then thinks Stutzy is going to accept it. Hilarious. Let me clear up a few things, because I understand that not everybody can listen to the entire program. We'd love to have you on from 12 to 3. We'd love for us to be on your radio from 12 to 3. We understand that, especially in the midday show. You're popping in and out of the car. You're popping in and off of Twitch, ESPN975.com, however you consume the Killer Bees. But we understand it's a very, you know, busy time. You're stopping for lunch, going out to the car, whatever the case may be. Let me clear some things up real quick. 6171. Cody took the side of the bet on his initial offer that he knew I was on. Cody knew that since the combine, I have said that four quarterbacks would go in the top 10. 6171. Cody was literally sent a screenshot of me tweeting that four quarterbacks would go in the top 10. He did that 7-8 hours before his big, bold, fake, tough guy proposal. So you need to be clear of that. My initial position has never been that there will be a franchise quarterback available at 12. I have never said that since the combine. I've never said that since the Houston Texans had the 12th pick. I've never suggested once that the Houston Texans would be able to get a franchise quarterback at number 12. That is the whole point of this, is that Cody took my side of the bet and then was fake tough guy trying to, like, oh, I know he's going to not accept this bet because I know his position. So let's be very, very clear on that. If you've not heard the details of my counter proposal, I will bet Cody $1,000 that Will Levis will be a top 10 pick. Cody's been crapping on Will Levis for how long?
But he took that side
months.
Of the
bet. Cody, but I also took side of the bet.
So that's
what, like, what you're failing to realize.
No, I'm not. I'm saying we're going in circles here.
But
we got to find a way to change the bet.
What is Cody's narrative of Will Levis?
That Will Levis bad.
What was the puke blood thing?
That's he said the Texans took Will Levis with the second pick.
And all of a sudden he wants to claim him as a top 10 pick? Uh-uh. If you're so like confident in your stance that Will Levis sucks, then stand on the table for your confidence that Will Levis sucks by saying the NFL general managers and executives will see the same thing that you do and will not be a top 10 pick. Because, look, you've been crapping on Will Levis forever. I've been saying that four quarterbacks will go in the top 10 forever. That was never my initial position, 6171 and all of the other listeners. So Cody's position has always been Will Levis sucks. So I'm offering Cody to put his money where his mouth is. Cody, you think Will Levis sucks? We'll bet $1,000 he will not be a top 10 pick. Simple!
ESPN.
So they're kicking us off the air there.
But you know that even if you think a quarterback sucks, you think he might go top 10.
Hey, I haven't been the one crapping on any four of those quarterbacks. Well,
we gotta find a way to change the
my counter proposal.
Since you guys are both on the same side that Will Levis will go in the top 10, you really are. We gotta find a way to change it somehow.
It's my counter proposal. $1,000 Will Levis top 10 pick. He doesn't. If he's outside of the top 10, I pay Cody Stutz $1,000. Not doing this silly 3-hour cheesiness of spinning some sign on Westheimer. Weird fetishes.
You also got to pick the right street corner if you're going to do that. You don't want to get hit. These are a lot of awful.
And he was talking about my feet 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I don't even want to know.
I don't either.
Coward.
Somebody tipped me off, which I don't know why that show is saying those words about our show when our show can't say specific words.
You know it's different.
About their show. I don't know that it's different. I think it's the same.
I don't. Moving on.
How is it any different?
You and Cody like each other.
I don't like Cody.
That's not true.
Whoever, don't put those words in my mouth. What gives you any reason to think that I like Cody?
I don't know.
All right. Well, the new Major League Baseball expansion cities end up on Bad Take Boulevard. St. Louis. I don't know why I'm saying Saint.
I don't either.
Salt Lake City, Nashville. A couple of teams that have been rumored for MLB expansion. What is this? Like, is Major League Baseball talking about expanding?
Yeah, so Jeff Passan yesterday reported that there's a group in Salt Lake City that is preparing for expansion. And then there's already a group in Nashville. There's the Nashville Stars. They've already got a name. Dave Dombrowski's been with them before. Like, they have like a real contingent, stadium plans, everything. Like, they're ready to go for expansion. And Salt Lake City is preparing the same thing to go for MLB expansion and to buy a team. It's the former owner of the Jazz is the guy who's putting this together. So, like, it looks like right now, when MLB expands, and that's coming, that it could be Salt Lake City and Nashville.
Why does baseball want to expand, though? Like, before we talk about the cities.
Because they need money. Because the best way to counteract the pandemic and what happened in it and the amount of revenue that these owners claim they lost and the amount of beer sales that they're claiming they're losing with these new pitching.
How does expansion teams fix that?
Because the new owner is going to have to pay each owner $50 million, $200 million. So like the
initiation fee.
So the fee that you get when you pay to get into the league, which is a majority of that expansion cost, is going to go directly to the pockets of the owner. So the theory is that all this money that Major League Baseball lost during the pandemic, the way they recoup that money is by expanding Major League Baseball by two teams, and each owner gets an influx, big amount of cash when that happens.
That makes sense.
I also think it's just time. Like, everyone's gone to 32 at this point. The NBA hasn't yet, but we know that's coming too. That Seattle and Vegas are likely to get teams in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So, but what this would lead to is that so a new team in Salt Lake, a new team in Nashville, maybe another city comes in and stops this, one of these specific teams, but then Vegas is likely going to happen.
Hopefully
with Oakland.
Oakland. Uncle Barney says now if we can only find major league players to play on those teams, which is a good point. I like this league. I like it at 30 teams. I'm not a fan of 32. Like, I understand the financial aspect of it, and we all know that money ultimately drives things to happen. Just like you mentioned the beer sales, where all of a sudden that rule is gone, where you can sell beer all the way till, into extra innings. Brian McTaggart said you can sell beer all the way until 4 hours after first pitch if the game goes into extras. So revenue always drives these things. I'm not a fan of expansion in Major League Baseball. I think 30 teams is perfect.
You don't think we're at the point now where there's enough talent in the league to...
They've also expanded rosters by one. So, like, you've already added 30 Major League Baseball players to Major League Baseball since, I think they added that rule post-COVID. Well, I think they were going to add it going into the COVID year, and the COVID year changed it. No, not really. Like, go look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, look at the Pittsburgh Pirates 26-man roster. Go look at Kansas City's 26-man roster. Detroit. Look at the worst 10 teams in Major League Baseball and go tell me that, yeah, Major League Baseball's talent is enough for 32 teams. I disagree.
Is that a reflection of the talent or the ownership groups?
I would argue both.
Because it depends on the situation.
Look at the Astros. The Astros are one of the best teams in baseball, and yes, I know that there are injuries. Yeah. Corey Jolks is getting a lot of at-bats. He was left unprotected by the Houston Astros. Every team in Major League Baseball didn't draft him. David Hensley is getting a lot of at-bats. Yiner Diaz is getting a lot of at-bats. Mauricio Dubon, Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick. Like, those dudes aren't, at the exception of Chaz, like, those guys aren't everyday players yet.
Sure.
So, no, I don't think that there's like great talent in baseball.
Because, like, Pittsburgh and Oakland, like, it's more ownership than it is. It's the fact that they won't spend any money.
Yeah, they're getting more money based on, like, kickbacks and revenue sharing than they are their payroll.
The Pirates made money last season.
Right.
And they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem.
That's why I thought the MLBPA was silly talking about this whole competitive balance tax and the salary cap and then all, like, what would have fixed a lot of things, what would have gotten the PA what they wanted was a salary floor. Like, they should have been instituting a salary floor, stop looking at the high end and start looking at the bottom end. But the two expansion teams that are rumored, Nashville, Salt Lake City, I love Nashville. I've never been, but I really want to go, and I think that Nashville would be a perfect spot for baseball.
Yeah, Nashville would be huge.
Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City is a beautiful city, beautiful town. I don't really have much allure to go to Salt Lake City all the time.
Yeah, I kind of get the premise is that, like, that area of the country has a pretty rabid fan bases.
Yeah.
You know, the Portland Trailblazers aren't far. You know, the Jazz.
I mean, the Utah Jazz are there.
I know. But, like, I'm saying, like, because the Portland's been, like, the other one that, like, they mentioned is, like, the upper Midwest.
Oh, okay. Or,
like, not Midwest. Like, the upper West Coast. Like,
a great teams, Northwest.
Like, you have, you know, Portland, Utah. Like, could they support a team? Maybe. Like, the way they support their basketball teams, the answer looks like would be yes. But there's also a big difference between 40 indoor baseball or basketball games and 80 baseball games.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big difference.
I like Nashville, Salt Lake, I don't know. Vegas, I want to happen with Oakland. I'd rather stay at 30. If they go to 32, do they give any indication of, like, how they would do divisions?
No.
If they do go to 32, if they do go to 32, I would want in each league for them to have 2 8-team divisions.
I think the only thing about, like, hockey, when they did their expansion, they seem pretty good with where everyone's at. You know, besides the Phoenix Coyotes, who are playing in a joke of a stadium right now on a college campus, like, everyone there in the NHL is pretty solid footing-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It seems odd to me that the MLB would even consider expansion talks before you figure out Oakland and Tampa Bay.
Right.
Like, you got to fix your problems first.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to take care of those, of, like, where are these teams going to play? Are they going to move to new cities before you even talk about expansion? But that's part of what I wonder is too. Like, could the Nashville expansion group, could that actually just be an ownership group that buys Tampa Bay? Could they buy Oakland?
Yeah.
Like, could Oakland, instead of going to Vegas, could they just end up in Nashville? Like, I wonder, like, if stuff like that's kind of on the table too.
But if you're talking about adding 2 teams because of finances, then they'll find a way to add 2 teams because of finances.
But I think, yeah, Salt Lake City would end up on Bad Take Boulevard.
Probably so. I'm cool with Nashville. I want a team in Vegas, but SLC. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But give me the 2 8-team divisions if you do expand. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So no one has any clue what the Houston Texans are doing with the draft, and apparently we have no clue what the general manager is going to be of the Houston Texans come May either. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that I do know, one thing that I'm certain of, and I can assure you will love it, is HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. A little background about HR&P. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holley. He used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner as a U of H football player, and he's also now looking to protect you and your business. HR&P, members of the Cougar 100 for the 8th year in a row, going on a decade there. They'll reach that as well. You've seen the HR&P sign into the U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway, and let business owners help you by using HR&P. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HR&P will find a plan that makes sense, that fits. They'll completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology, you'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger in a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Charles Carter filling in this week, doing a fantastic job. He's at Charles3_on air.
You got 24 hours. In 30 minutes. We told you had to change it, Charles.
Yeah.
We need an easier Twitter handle.
I don't think Charles cares that much.
I think you only have like a few days to switch it over, too. It's like a little layover period.
That's true. Days. I don't know. All these new Twitter rules are so weird. I don't know if you can change it anymore.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I think you can. Maybe you can't. No.
I'm pretty sure you can change your at. I have no idea. Why would I change mine?
Now, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Really?
Like, all these new Twitter rules are so hard to keep up with. Like, and I don't really care. Twitter's fine.
I like Twitter.
They can change it however Elon wants. It doesn't affect my life.
I don't really care either.
What was your stance on that? You're not going to buy the blue check mark?
No, I'm too cheap to do that.
Yeah, I just, it doesn't really matter to me.
I'm not going to pay $9.99 a month to have a check mark next to my name. Now, my check mark's still there. Everybody told me I was supposed to like lose it. It's still there.
He said again the other day that they're going to get rid of it again. I just don't. It just seems like it's not a priority. So like he keeps saying they're going to get rid of it. He's just trying to get people to subscribe. It's actually a great business model.
Yeah.
Just keep every time he threatens it, people subscribe.
Plus, I think that they should keep the blue check marks for the people that had blue check marks.
There's a couple that, like, I think you'll see, like, the ones that are gold check marks now.
Like the
teams, like the Astros have them, all the NFL teams.
Like
an
organization or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think those ones are going to stay, but like, I think the Shefty is going to go away.
See, I don't know if I like that.
I'm already subscribed to, or not subscribed, I get notifications when Schefter, Woj, Shams, and Rosenthal tweet.
Uh-huh.
So that way I don't get burnt by fake accounts.
Makes sense.
So that's I'm just going to keep those, and like, I'll be fine. Because like I don't know, too many people have got.
I don't use Twitter notifications at all.
I just do just for breaking news and sports.
I hate notifications.
I do too. It was actually a big adjustment for me. But uh-huh. like I like being able to like have my phone down producing the radio show and like breaking news from Ken Rosenthal. And, like, I'm ready to go with the breaking news.
That's true. The only notifications that I have on my phone are email, text, and phone calls.
Mm.
I have everything else turned off.
Mm.
No other notifications. I don't like notifications.
So, okay.
I will go look whenever I want to go look.
All right. But let me ask you this question. When you pull up your phone.
Yeah.
And you look at your email.
Yeah.
What does it say?
1,519.
You're a disgusting person.
For that?
Mine says one. Mine now says zero. I'm a zero notifications person on my phone.
I used to be that same way, but then
I want them.
I can't keep up with my email anymore.
Yeah, I just...
I used to be that way, but I can't keep up with my email.
Well, I have a junk email that I don't put on my phone that I just check like once a month.
See, I need to do that too because I get so much junk mail. Like 90% of what I get in my email is
Yeah, I have an email that's literally dedicated to like stores, restaurants... coupons.
I need to turn that email address I have where you send all the important information that you send out.
Well,
to the station.
I have like three emails for you.
I use one. How do you have three? I only have two.
I have four emails for you.
I haven't had four emails in my life.
Yes, you have. I have two company emails. One for here.
I don't have a company email here.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I just assumed you did.
Maybe I do.
I think you do.
Maybe I do, but I have never opened. Or even have an account. Like, I don't know that. I didn't know that I had an account. Maybe I've never seen an email to my.
Sometimes when I type in Jeremy, I get three emails that typically pop up. And I just assumed you have
Yahoo, Gmail, and.
And a flagship one.
Oh.
Because we used to work together there.
Oh, that makes sense. I wonder if I can still log into that.
I would bet you cannot.
I think I can still log into their Instagram.
You should not have said that on air.
Why not? I'm not going to do it.
You could have sabotaged.
I could have, but I wasn't going to.
I know. You could have get to someone else that would have.
I'm pretty sure I can. Like, whenever I... Sometimes I'll accidentally click switch account, and that one pops up.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that one will pop up, and I've never even opened it, but yeah.
You'd be like the last person on the station that would pick to sabotage someone else.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Everybody has no clue what the Texans are going to do. Here was Adam Schefter recently talking about the Texans' plan.
Well, we're trying to figure it out. But again, I think there's a lot of conflicting signals and information out there about what Houston is going to do at two. And I think a lot of people have assumed it's just going to be a quarterback. And in the end, I'm just not convinced just yet that that's going to be the case. Now, I do think that we have Bryce Young slated to be the favorite number one Carolina. Then Houston's on the clock. And what does Houston do? And it becomes interesting if Houston decides to auction off that pick to somebody who wants to come up and trade for a quarterback at number two, or whether Houston wants to go with a quarterback of its own, or whether Houston wants to go with one of the top defensive players. All I'm saying is I don't think it's a lock that Houston is going quarterback at two. That's all I'm saying.
All Adam Schefter said there was the Texans could literally do anything.
Yeah, he says nothing.
It was a big nothing burger there. I do like, though, that the Texans aren't tipping their hand. Like the general manager stuff is weird. Like, I personally don't believe it. Maybe it is true. I don't love that aspect of it. Like, I also won't break my heart if Nick Caserio is gone the next day. If Nick Caserio is gone May 1st, I think it's weird. I personally wouldn't fire him right now. I don't think Nick Caserio should resign. If the Texans have a new general manager in place on May 1st, okay. All right. That's not going to hurt me at all.
I just, I think the biggest thing that we're seeing right now with the Texans and some of the response from the national media, and Michael Lombardi said it himself, that there's no information coming out. Some of the stuff is the fact that there's no information coming out.
I do. That's people, the part that I like.
And I think people are kind of recklessly speculating. I mean, that whole thing from Schefter, and even the one we played earlier from Ian Rappaport, that he throws the Texans might call from 12 to 3 and try to get two of the best players in the draft. No one is reporting.
No, speculation.
It's all, they're like doing these broad term speculation, and everyone's just kind of running. Look, it's great for us. It's great content. I'm like, what could they do? But like, you know, I personally, it's weird. Like, I expect more from Adam Schefter. Like, when, it's like, it used to be when he speaks, you listen. And that now it's these long term generalizations that he says a million different things to cover his ass.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to have an idea, and like, I personally think it's them talking about the draft and spitballing the draft. This, like, heading into this draft, it's pretty wide open. Like, it's as wide open as I remember a draft being. Like, last year's draft was weird because you didn't really have, like, the quarterback, so, like, anybody could have went anywhere. There wasn't a whole lot of movement because no one was moving for those quarterbacks. This year's kind of the opposite of that, where there's almost so many quarterbacks, and there's, like, problems with all of them that you don't know which teams would be interested in which ones. You don't, and there's, like, good defensive players. Will Anderson, if Jalen Carter didn't have the off-the-field stuff, I think he could be in line to be a top three, top five pick. Some people still think he's going to be a top five pick. You have no idea really what Carolina's starting to do. And even Carolina, like, where it seems like it's trending to Bryce Young, it's went back and forth. It was C.J. Stroud heavy favorite. Now it's Bryce Young the favorite. The Houston Texans, well, they're always going to go quarterback. They're going to go quarterback. Oh, they're going quarterback. They might not go quarterback. They might go Will Anderson. And there's more reports coming out that the Texans don't love anybody, but they love Will Anderson. I was looking at some betting odds yesterday, just looking at some of these players and like where Vegas right now is currently valuing these players. Mm-hmm. Will Levis, like the third best odds for Will Levis is the Houston Texans. The best odds for Will Anderson is the Houston Texans. So, and like C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young are actually off the board for whatever reason. So it's like,
yeah, I'm looking at
curious.
I'm looking at FanDuel right now. So they have Bryce Young as a minus 310 favorite. So it's even gone up just a little bit.
To be the number one pick.
To be the number one
pick. I was looking at individual players and their odds to see which teams they would go to.
Yeah, so they have it by pick. For the number two pick, they have C.J. Stroud a plus 125, Will Anderson a plus 250.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like right now, Anthony Richardson, the odds on favorite to land Anthony Richardson's any other team at plus 105. The team that has the best odds that's not the field is the Colts at plus 170. The Texans are plus 2,000 on Anthony Richardson. So if you think Anthony Richardson's actually in play at number two for the Houston Texans, or if they could trade up for Anthony Richardson, might be some good value in Anthony Richardson at plus 2,000. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the field is the favorite, but if you had to pick one team that had the best odds over any other team, it's the Texans at plus 450. So the odds on the best odds for Jackson Smith and Jigba are the Texans. I don't think that Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are on the board. They're not. Actually, they dropped Will Levis off the board too, for whatever reason. When I looked at it yesterday, the Texans had the second best odds to land Will Levis. Like, they were plus 250.
Yeah, I think it's because people just, there's so little information, but that's the way it should be done.
I like that about the Texans.
You know, it's better. I think it's better to have little to no information coming out than be, you know, like the 49ers look bad because for an entire draft lead up, it was Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones, and then they surprised everyone and went with Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And now it looks like they made the wrong decision. And part of the reason why people think they made the wrong decision is because it looks like they changed their mind.
Yeah,
and like, if the Texans are, if all the rumors were they're taking C.J. Stroud, if Bryce Young's gone, and then they take Will Anderson, and then Stroud is great, it looks even worse on the franchise. So I'm fine.
But like,
I think the speculation's more fun when you don't know too.
I do too. But like, let's imagine for a second that Young goes one. The Texans really don't like C.J. Stroud, but there's high demand for C.J. Stroud. Like, you don't want that information to get out there because what if somebody blows you away with a trade? What if the Colts, I mean, everybody hates to trade within division because they're scared of what the mighty Colts and the mighty Titans are going to do. But what if the Colts just give you a sweetheart deal to move up two spots in the draft? You don't love C.J. Stroud. You have good intel. They want C.J. Stroud. And they blow you away with a deal. Like, it's smart to be tight-lipped. I like that about the Texans. The GM stuff, I think it's weird. If Nick Caserio's here, fine. If Nick Caserio's not here, fine. I'm indifferent with Nick Caserio, but I do like that it's guarded with what they're doing at number two. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Astros are extending how long you can buy beer. Good idea. Everybody thinks it's a good idea, right? Also, what's going to lead the Wheelhouse show later on today? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
6927, Branham's going full boomer right now. I do have a work email.
I'm just assuming you do.
I've said many times that I am a millennial that identifies as a boomer. Mm. I am. This is how I live my life.
Aren't you like really borderline millennial though?
Technically, I'm a millennial. Like the years that I was born, I'm a millennial.
Okay.
Like what?
Isn't it like 87?
No.
84?
Well, I was born in 85, so 82 to 94.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm borderline millennial, but boomers like that. It didn't go boomer to millennial.
No, there's
you had Gen X, yeah, Gen yeah, yeah. Y. So when were boomers? I don't even know if boomers is an actual term.
Yeah, baby boomer.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
It's like a very real thing.
I just for some reason I dropped the baby boomer.
Yeah,
and just yeah, baby boomers were 46 to 64.
So you identify as someone.
Yeah,
that's like I am
a millennial.
Yeah,
but because we can do that nowadays. I am a millennial that identifies
as a boomer.
As a boomer,
makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm good with that. I am comfortable with that decision. Yeah,
I also am a millennial.
Do you identify as a millennial?
I think so.
All right, that's good. It's Joe George in for Joel Blank. Joel's not a millennial.
No, he's
I guess it would be Gen X.
Yeah, probably. Closer.
What's after millennials? Is it X?
I think Gen Z, right?
Yeah, Z.
Oh yeah, I'm 97, so
yeah, you're the first year of Gen Z. Gen Z is 97 through 12. Millennials were 82 through 94. So there's something between. Was it Gen Y between millennials and Gen Y?
It's so confusing. There's people.
Millennials
who
were born.
Who comes up with this stuff? Is it like a site?
That's
for
a great question.
It's like the zodiac.
Who comes
stuff?
Out with these dumb things?
Do y'all believe in horoscopes and
no.
like your zodiac sign?
No.
Am I even saying that right?
No, you
zodiac
are.
Sign?
It's funny stuff. I mean, I think it's funny. I don't necessarily like just so into it.
No, but like the girls who like go like
I won't date a Capricorn.
Like what?
Oh, okay, that's weird.
What,
yeah.
what planet are you living on? It's a sign. It's a month you're born in.
Right.
I won't date a Capricorn though.
I don't get along with cancers.
Easy off on the Capricorn.
I am a Capricorn. You're a Capricorn too, Joe? Yeah.
I'm cool. A cancer.
A lot of people might say that about you, Jeremy.
Some people might be saying I'm a cancer of the station today. Yes.
Wow.
So it's Lost Generation 83 through 90.
Okay.
That's a mean thing to call them.
That is really hard.
The greatest
generation.
What did
generation. They lose?
Life, I guess, at some point, because they're no longer with us. RIP and P. Greatest Generation 01 through 27, 1901 through 1927. Silent Generation from 28 to 45. Baby Boomers, which I identify as, 46 to 64. Gen X was 65 through 80. So Blanker's probably Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta be. Millennials 81 through 96. Gen Z 97 to 12. Oh, in 13 through present, I'm jealous of this. I want this moniker. Generation Alpha. That's by far the best name.
Alpha?
I like that a lot. So it's good. I mean, Branham babies.
Yeah,
Generation Alpha.
Our kids are Generation Alpha.
Yeah. Charles, you need to have a kid here soon. That way you can have a Generation Alpha running around too.
What was that Silent Generation? That was kind of ominous.
The Lost Generation.
The Lost Generation.
1883 to 1900. It is ominous.
And what does that mean?
I think it means they're dead.
I mean, well.
I think it means they're gone. Huh.
Right. I'm going to agree with the beer man Greg here on Twitch. We now identify as parts of D-Generation X.
And if you're not down with that, we have
two words for you. So, beer man Greg, I'm with you.
Pat 409, I would bet money Houston goes defense at 2, and then I bet Richardson falls to 12. Well, if you want to bet that, you could probably get that bet with Cody. You could also get plus 2,000 odds that he's the Houston Texans. I would not bet that because I do believe the top four quarterbacks will go in the top 10. of this NFL draft. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 7428 says, what are the odds that ESPN crew for Sunday Night Baseball, which we're carrying right here on ESPN 975, the radio call. He says, what are the odds they focus on Evan Gaddis's commentary? I don't think they do on the TV.
I don't think so.
I don't think it even comes up. I had
the Gaddis stuff. Look, it's weird.
Bulldog being on Twitter, he sent me a response to a Twitter question I had the other day. Bulldog being in Branham, two friends. You know, that was what was happening the other day. He just had a couple too many gentle bends.
Oh yeah,
had a couple too many pops.
He said he was too many pops.
Yeah, he owned up to it. I don't think he
owned up to it like in the moment.
Yeah, I've had too much pops. Oh well, 713.
Yeah, no, they won't address that.
I don't think so. I don't think they'll bring it up at all. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So the Houston Astros have, and many Major League Baseball teams, they've decided to extend concession sales that will include both food and alcoholic beverages. What was the last call, like seventh inning?
Yeah, seventh inning.
Now you can do it for 4 hours. So you can do it to the ninth if it goes into extra innings in like 40% of the concession areas.
40% is what they said. The walking vendors will still stop the seventh.
I feel like they should add more walking vendors.
It's actually like my only criticism of Minute Maid Park.
Too many or too few?
Too little.
You would think now.
Like growing up at Wrigley, this is Minute Maid. Like if you go to Wrigley. Like
been there.
They're everywhere.
Except now, first sometimes row and right field.
There's too many because they're annoying and they're distracting. But there's times like I honestly feel like going to a game at Minute Maid where I'm like, dude, I need a beer and like I don't want to walk. Like, come to me. And they're just like it feels like they're gone for innings at a time.
Yeah.
Like you might see them three times during a ball game.
I thought for sure that they would add a lot of them because of this, because people don't want to leave their seats, miss a lot of action. Yeah. So you have more of them selling beer at a more like rapid rate than them having to go, like the fans going to the concession stand. So like that is something I would suggest. I've always thought that the seventh inning rule is silly. Like, what's the purpose of that rule? Because people don't get drunk. Like, people are going to get drunk if they want to get drunk.
Yeah,
and a lot of people are going to go to the bar as soon as they leave the game.
Yeah, some Phillies relief pitcher, you know, went on some diatribe here in a recent interview about how it's putting the fans at risk. And because, you know, they need to cool down. And Matt Strom, he said that it's the cutting them off made sense for the safety of the fans. I'm sorry, I don't buy that.
I don't either.
Because you know how many people go to a ball game and if it's a bad baseball game, when they cut off beer sales, that's when they leave. So like, what's the difference between leaving in the seventh and the ninth inning? It's also the responsibility of the people themselves and the people serving the alcohol to, if someone's too drunk, to cut someone off. Like, and that's what, and the Astros said that in their thing, was like, we have the rights to cut people off. And I think what you're going to see, though, is you are going to see, if you've been boozing pretty good, I think you're going to get cut off more easily now in like the eighth and the ninth. I think that's what the Astros are going to do. That's just a gut feeling that like they're going to try to be a little more strict in the eighth and ninth inning, so as people are leaving early and they can do their part. But
also, though, if you're hammered in the seventh inning, are you really going to cool off in two innings?
No.
Like, you're never going to, like, that's silly. Like, that's not, like, that's not true. That's not
it always felt like an arbitrary thing to me that, like, it was like a CYA thing that just, to me, like, didn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. I'm glad this is gone. You know, I'm a little sad that it took the pitch clock to get there, but I'm glad that it's gone. Like, serve. Like, these, and you're never going to have, like, everybody tries to put rules and regulations and laws into place to, like, correct stupid. You're never going to correct stupid. Stupid is always going to exist in some form or fashion. And you can create certain, like, rules to try to, like, fix that area of stupid. But then all you're doing is changing the area of stupid. Like, it's still going to exist. It's going to exist. You're never going to eliminate stupid. Stupid is always going to exist. If you put a rule to correct one area of stupidness, it's just going to roll somewhere else.
And look, this is obviously Jim Crane said that he didn't think the rule changes was going to affect beer sales. My guess is that it has.
No doubt.
And even if it hasn't, they've taken a half hour off of games, which means they're definitely like affecting beer sales, and that's why you're seeing these changes.
P. Drizzle like talked about that early in the year. I was like, I told him I didn't believe it. P. Drizzle was right. I was wrong. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse? What are they leading with?
I think it's Casario, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud stuff. That kind of that wheelhouse of topic.
Casario, will he be the general manager on May 1st? Still waiting to hear back from Cody Stoops to see if he accepts my $1,000 Will Levis bet.
He was not listening.
Still waiting around. I'm sure he's listening now. It's $1,000 Will Levis bet. Let's see, Coward. All right, make sure you're tuning into the Wheelhouse 3 to 7. Thanks so much, Sir Charles, for doing all the great work behind the glass. He's Joe George. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Weasel House is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.